How's that? All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. We're going to be looking at Revelation, chapter number 19 for a moment. If you find the place you're able to stand, then do so as we look in chapter number 19, book of Revelation, verse number 14. The Bible said there, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that which with it that he should smite the nations, and that he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth them in the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God." Now look in verse 19. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered." Now that's the armies of the earth. Saw them gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's going to be the army of heaven. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free is our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, I want to preach a little while on the armies of the earth and the army of heaven. When you begin to look there and you begin to find out is that every now and again, Memorial Day runs around, and we try to remember those, you know, that were in service and some of them that gave their lives, so forth and on. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, that when we begin to, think about these armies that are in heaven and the one on the earth, is that it involves the fact is that there have been some lives that have been given sacrificially. And as a result, you're going to find that there's been some blood that's been shed. I said here a while back, a couple of 3 years ago, with all that's going on at the White House and with the crooked leaders of Joe Biden and all of his cabinet and bunch, is that somehow or another, what a wicked and a godless bunch they are. And I'm glad that in spite of all that's going on, that God has given us a space to repent and given us a little space to see what we're going to do with it after we've repented. I begin to think about, you know, here we are in the day we live in. Could you have ever dreamed that there would have been a country that could be as divided as America? In fact, you're going to find out is that we are so divided, it's hard to tell the good from the evil. And so as a result of that, and I begin to look into it, there's Joe Biden now, and that old codger, that's what I'm going to call him. I've got a few other names, but they're not appropriate for church. But there's that old codger there, and they're involved in the Democratic Party trying to sell all that metal as scrap iron down there on the border that we have paid millions or billions of dollars for, and they're trying to sell it for pennies on the dollar, a nickel on the pound. In other words, a nickel on the dollar. In other words, everything we had to give a dollar for, they're giving a nickel for. And let me tell you right up front is that something's wrong with that. In fact, what they're doing is that we as taxpayers have given money toward that. It was passed in legislation, so forth and on. And now they're coming along and wanting to be able to sell that. And that's robbing and lying, cheating, conniving. And they're robbing us as the American taxpayer. You know, most of the time after I talk about that, that's the reason why I get so adamant whenever I listen to one of them and I look at them. Why is the military taking an oath to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Why? The worst enemies we got against our Constitution are already in the White House. Now, as a result, they're doing as much dirt as they possibly can, because that their time is short and they're fixing to have to be booted out. And thanks be unto God that they will be. You know, in this country, we're not ignorant and we're not absolved from bloodshed, because that the freedom that we have was by the shedding of blood by somebody. I remember over in 1836, as history records it, the Texas Revolution. And boy, make no mistake about it, what a bloody thing that was. Also, too, in February the 23rd through March the 6th in 1836, you're going to find is that the Alamo. And what a thing that was. The Alamo, it was from 189 killed that were there in the Alamo and 600 Mexicans that were there that were killed. And around 1,800 of them had showed up down there at the Alamo. And I don't know exactly, you know, I don't know exactly all the details of that. But there are some men that gave their lives, that bled and that died on the battlefront to be able to secure freedom. Now, worse than that was that when we had the Civil War. There's the, where the Confederate against the Union Army and vice versa. North against the South. The Union had a strength of 2,100,000 people. The Confederates, or the South, they had their strength of 1,064,000. And as a result of that, you'll find out that from 61 of April, 1861, to May the 10th of 1865, 4 years, 3 weeks, and 6 days, the last shot was finally fired June the 22nd, 1865. The Union Army suffered some 365,000 total dead. The Southern Army suffered some 275,200 wounded, and the Confederate Army was 260 dead and about 137 that were standing there that were wounded. I want to say to you, there's a high price to pay for low living. And America was not just all of a sudden open up an instant freedom plan. Listen, it cost the lives of many men, women, and children to be able to have freedom that you and I enjoy today. Now, I want to say to you that when we look into the Bible, you're going to find out the enemy is the devil. He's always been against God. He's been against the Bible. He's been against truth, good moral and decent. And let me say to you that, if you will, that you find that the strength of any country is the ability to defend itself. But let me tell you right now, it's not going to be in the ability of humanity. It's going to be in the hand of God and in the breath of God. And that's what we want to look at here tonight just real quickly, is that you're going to find out is that the Lord can make a difference in your life. It doesn't matter if it's in your country. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Listen, we're always here going to run upon heartache and heartbreak. There are going to be some tears that are going to be shed. There's going to be some agony that's going to be felt. And the reason being is because we're not home yet, children. I want to tell you right now is that every now and again, God makes us look unto Him who is the author and finisher of our faith, and to let us see that we're dependent totally upon Him. Bible said over Deuteronomy, don't turn there, in chapter number 20, it's about verse number 1. He said, be not afraid, the Lord is with thee, when sometimes Israel will come up against it. In Leviticus, in chapter number 26, in verse 8, he said, five shall chase 100. Five people chasing 100. 100 shall take, or put 10,000 to flight. And boy, let me tell you right now, you know what made the difference? The Lord on their side. In Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and about verse number 30, here's what he ended up saying. One's going to chase 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight. How is that? How does that happen? I'll tell you how. It's the Lord that makes the difference. Now you can turn, don't lose your text, but you can turn over there in the book of 1 Samuel. There's a passage that I want us to read in chapter 14. I'll give you a moment to find that. Let me say to you that Jerusalem and Judah, they were up against it on more than one occasion. And let me tell you right now, God finally told them over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, he said, be not afraid of the battle, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And so as a result, we want to thank God for how good he's been to us, how strong that he is in our behalf, and that the battle belongs unto the Lord. Do you know that over there in the book of Joel, don't turn there, but in chapter number 2 and about verse number 25, God talks about another army. He talked about the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and a bunch of other insects that would go through and eat up their crops if they were not obedient unto the Lord and to the day of God. That's an army, he said, and this is my army. And let me tell you right now, is have you ever noticed without all the insecticide, pesticides, that we can't stop them? You ever notice that? Somebody asked me one time years ago, my brother-in-law, who's been dead now for many years, and all that, he said, I just was wondering, could you tell me and explain to me what good is a mosquito? I said, it's not for your good, it's a pestilence. Does it seem to be pesty against you? Because that's what it's for. It's not something that you're to be enjoying. I mean, I don't like them either. What I'm amazed at is how the resilience they've got. Here you can have them eating you up on a deer stand during bow season, and the next morning it'll be white frost on the ground. It, well, not here, but most of the places. But anyhow, and then you can see yourself breathing. These boys will ask me, you seeing anything? Just my breath. And as a result of that, you find that then that evening again, whenever the frost has been melted and all that, here it is, buddy, they're singing that same stupid little song they sing. Not one of them, they're all dressed the same. And they're a pestilence, you see. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that they're in part of the army of God, no doubt about that. 1 Samuel chapter number 14, now here's what the story is and the lesson. The Philistines had come up against Israel, and of course, as a result of that, you're going to find out is that the Philistine army, they brought a pretty good crew with them. And I want you to look in chapter 13, first of all, and look at about verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand, which is on the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash and eastward in Bethaven. Now, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and pits and so forth and on. Saul, in verse number 7, he was there at Gilgal, and all the people following him were trembling. I mean, they knew they were up against it. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that they needed to offer a sacrifice and have God to be able to lead and guide and direct them. And that's the reason why when you read there, that in verse number 8, chapter 13, that he tarried 7 days according to the set time Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And then Saul said, bring hither the burnt offering to me and peace offerings and the offering, burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, of the burnt offering, he was out of place, by the way. He said, then behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because that I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, and therefore, he said, I said unto the Philistines, I will go down now to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I force myself, therefore, and I offer a burnt offering. In verse 13, and Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which that he had commanded. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. Now, as you look into that chapter that's there, in verse number 19, there's no smith that's there. You know what that means? Nobody to work in the iron. Nobody to make a sword. Nobody to make a spear. And as a result of that, you find out they're unprepared for battle. Look in verse 22. And so it came to pass that in the days of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and Jonathan was his own son was found. Now, as a result of that, Jonathan's going to try to make a move and do something. As a result of that, what he does, he takes about 600 men, verse 2 of chapter 14. He goes in there, and the Bible said in verse number 6, and he said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, that it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. One of the things that we've learned from history past is that God's not worried about the size of our army, the numerical amount that we're going to have. God does not have to have many to be able to bring about a victory. He doesn't use many. He doesn't care about few. Is that the strength is in the power of God. As a result of that, let me say to you, the price of freedom has been a costly thing down through the years. And I want to say to you, God's not tied to the military, but we ought to be wise and be prepared with the military, and to be prepared to not only seek the face of God, but to be obedient to His word therein. In the lesson that we're looking at, you find that millions of lives have been scattered abroad and have bled and died, some because of bombs, some because of guns, some because of knives, some because of landmines, bayonets, so forth and on. Soldiers have been wounded and maimed and marred and this and that and all of that. And let me tell you right now is they start out and soon are gone and as a tale that's been told. Now, in closing tonight, I want to say to you that what we're looking at is two armies. One of them's the army of heaven, and the armies, the other one's an earthly army, and that encompasses all the men and all the enemies that are earthly, that are led by earthly leaders. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out the armies of this earth, and they're going to all unite together one of these days against Christ and His anointing. And let me say to you, the armies of heaven are going to outweigh them and going to be able to overcome them in an instant and in a flash. As a result of that, you'll find that's the reason why the governmental armies that are across the country that are going to unite together, they're not going to be any match for the armies of God that come from heaven. The Bible said over the book of 2 Timothy that you and I, that we're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That means we're going to be people of faith. That means we're going to believe what God said, act upon what God said. And a man of faith and a man of separation. You know, if you listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil very long at a time, they'll have your mind messed up. What you want to do is listen to what God said and just stick with it. You'll be in the minority, but make no mistake about it, you'll be the better for it. You know, in this world of tyranny that we live in, you'll find that people are against the truth. They've always been, they are tonight, they will be tomorrow. And let me say to you that if you will, please, over in the book of John, St. John, chapter number 19. Here's a couple of guys that were soldiers, obviously, in their army. And in chapter number 19, verse 23 of the book of St. John, in the lesson there, here's what he says. He says there, then the soldiers, see that? When they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and they made four parts to every soldier a part, and to his and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam and woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. And who shall it be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now I want to say to you that if you will, there is gambling at the foot of the cross. That's it right there. These are people that are more interested in a garment that belonged to Jesus that had no seams in it. They were more interested in casting lots and gambling to see which one's going to be able to get that than they were anything else. That's the kind of world that we're living in. As a result of that, you're going to find out that here's what we ought to be doing in 1 Peter in chapter number 4. And I'll give you a moment to find that. But in 1 Peter chapter number 4, as we close, in chapter number 1, verse number 18 and 19 of 1 Peter, he said, for you and I know we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers. But here's what we're redeemed by, but by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Then look in chapter 4, 1 Peter, in verse number 1 and 2. And the passage is there, this is what we're to do to arm ourselves. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, I'll tell you something. If you want to be a strong Christian, if you want to be a happy Christian, if you want to be contented, arm yourselves with the word of the Lord. That's what you do. And let me say to you that if you do that, religion will try to suck it away from you. But just remember that the fact that you have armed yourself well will not make you popular with humanity, but it certainly will be profitable when you stand before the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. We thank you now for salvation that it's free, that it's for everlasting to those that receive it, and for everyone that will, we thank God for that. Now bless, I pray, the remainder of this day. Thank you, Lord, for prayers you've answered. Lord, may you hug up these that are in bereavement tonight. May you help those now that, Lord, that are sick and need healing. And dear God, we want to say thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake.